Today, I'm beginning a series called God Greater Story. And I want you to think about how great that story is, because it begins eternity before the beginning, before the foundations of the earth were laid, before the first second of time had ticked off the clock. God already knew you personally, not just one of the masses. He knew your name, the hairs on your head. God's greater story continues on for eternity with us, because that is the gift we have been given through Jesus Christ. But I'm starting in the middle of the book. Sort of did that on purpose. Probably seems a little strange. If you're going to go through, and we are going to go through the whole second half of the book of Romans over the next, I don't know, depends on how much time we take and how many breaks we take, but probably about 3 months or so. We're going to walk through that book. Why would I start in the middle? Well, for one, I want to get done before Christmas. But the other reason is because isn't that the way God works? You didn't show up at the beginning, right? We're brought into the middle of God's ongoing story. When you were born, you entered into a world that was already laid out and in motion. You didn't even know who the people were as they passed you from person to person, and they held you and they pointed at your face and contorted their face into weird shapes that are supposed to comfort you. But over time, you learn to recognize the voice and recognize the face, and in time, those strangers become familiar family. Well, that's just how God works. You were brought into the ongoing family of God. You weren't there at the beginning. At the beginning, God alone existed. In fact, he existed before anything was made, right? God alone created this world, and he created it out of the void of absolute nothing. He spoke all of it into existence with his word. Mountains soared, waves crashed, all of it. And after preparing a place for us to explore and discover, after preparing a garden in which we could live, after making sure there was food ready for us to eat, and day and night to measure our seasons so that we can rise and sleep, when it was all ready, God knelt down to the ground, the sovereign of all that is, put his hands in the dirt, and he formed us. He fashioned us. He breathed into that dust and mud the breath of life. He made Adam and Eve and brought them into the story that had already begun. What God did at creation is just what he did for you. He does that for each one of us as individuals, and that's important to remember. You're not just one of the, right, from Adam and Eve to now, billions of Christians. You're not just one of the believers. You are one he knows and calls by name. That's what he does for each of us. Even though Adam and Eve, the very first parents, messed up the whole thing and brought death and the punishment of sin into the world, God's story still continued. They tried to rewrite the story. They thought, oh, God shouldn't be part of the story. Let's follow Satan instead. That sounds like a good idea. And ate us out of house and home. But God's story doesn't get changed. You read Genesis 15 and you see God's story drives through. He sent his son, Jesus, that one who was promised. He would receive the punishment for sin, and he would then come and prepare a place for us back in God's story to make us again his people. He would bring a new creation, a new place free from death and sin and sin's effect, a place where God's people can rejoice and relax in the goodness of God and the wonder of creation restored. Where does he do that for you? There is a precise and exact moment when your story was changed. In Psalm 51, among other places, you find out that you are born an enemy of God. You have no chance of being alive. But then you're brought to that, a puddle of water. And there, God brings you into his ongoing story. God, in puddles and streams, in rivers and lakes and oceans, gathers people from all ages and all places all over the earth, from all languages and cultures. He brings them all into his kingdom, from the infant in arms to the aged in their bed, from those who speak every language you can think of and a whole bunch more you can't. He brings those who gather water from wells and keep water in bottles in their fridge, and he brings them all back into his story through water, the water of holy baptism. In baptism, we are joined in a strange way. We make baptism look so pretty, little white dresses, and will little Sally cry, and it's cute. That's not how baptism is described in the scripture. We are baptized into the death of Christ. That doesn't sound as cute. But there's some good news, because it's not just his death. It's also his resurrection. And there we enter into God's story. We come, however, into the middle of it. This story does reach back to before creation, when God loved us before the foundations were laid. Reaches forward to eternity, into that new creation when Jesus will return on that last day to make all things new. That's what that little puddle of water does. It is one of the most amazing miracles in creation. And too often we forget that. By grace, you have a place and you have a purpose, and you are part of a people that are called the people of God. To understand that, to understand how God brings you into his much greater story, it's helpful to start right in the middle of Romans. Paul is writing this letter to these little fledgling congregations in Rome who are in danger and suffering under incredible tyranny and persecution. There are secret police trying to become Christian so they can find where the congregation meets, because it's more fodder for the critters in the Colosseum. But Paul is saying, here's how you act like a Christian. Here's how you live like a Christian. Here's how you tell others what it means to be a Christian. Paul brings all of us to the water of baptism, and there you see what it really means to be buried into the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul describes it so clearly. He says, the death he died, Jesus died, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin. How many feel like you're in that place? You know you better than that, right? Dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is what you are. But that's sometimes a challenge to grasp because we all know ourselves too well. But God's work and God's story is bigger. God's work is eternal. The promise of God is certain, and it lasts for all eternity. It's maybe hard for us to hold on to that truth always, that truth of who we really are in this crazy mixed-up world. Sometimes our life would seem like just a brief moment in a vast amount of history. but that's who we are. And this Romans 6, I started there because I don't know if anybody who has their confirmation verse from Romans 6. Nobody usually picks verses from Romans 6 as their favorite verses. And no one really defines themselves through what they read in Romans 6 because it's all about death. And resurrection is also mentioned, but it's mostly about dying to all this stuff. If you ask a Christian about their faith walk, even if they don't say what's from Romans chapter 7, it's really what they'll reflect back to you, right? Paul writes there in Romans 7, "The good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I would not do, I do." Isn't that what we are? This life of struggle, this internal division, this fighting of flesh and spirit, isn't it just the way of life for Christians? And isn't that how Christians think about life? Wouldn't we want to be perfect for the God who has saved us? Try as we might, we can't. And yet in spite of that, because of Jesus, we are. Paul wants us to just pause for a moment to say something else about ourselves. Sure, we struggle with sin. Sure, we falter. But Paul says, because of Jesus, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. In this Romans 6, there's sort of double meanings going on. And you got to kind of catch it. There's death and life, which is physical death and physical life. But there's also eternal death and eternal life. And as you read through this and you see both of those meanings, the depth of what's being said becomes a bit more profound. We would too often dismiss baptism as something, yeah, it happened. It's not so significant. It happened a long time ago. Quaint, but not quite so important. And Paul says, no. That's the point where it all changed for you. Paul asks you to take this deep, long look into that reflective pool of holy baptism, because there you see your reflection in the water and you learn to say, this is where I died to sin. And I am now alive to God in Christ Jesus, dead eternally to sin. Alive eternally to God. Just think about that for a moment. Think of how big God's story is. Paul, leading up to this point, has described sin as formidable. Sin is powerful, and it has force. It enslaves, it imprisons, it has dominion over us. And yet Paul says, consider yourselves dead to it. Paul has described God in far greater wonder and far greater power. This is the God who created all that is. This is the God who rose from the dead. This is the God who now reigns in the glory and the wonder of heaven. The God who sends his Holy Spirit to his people. The God who frees us. The God who lives. The God who brings about marvelous new creation. Paul says, consider yourselves alive to that God in Jesus, dead to sin and alive to God. For Paul, that is the very reason, the very meaning for your baptism. That's why he says we were buried with him in baptism to his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And remember, death eternal, life eternal. So consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. You see how different God's ways are from the world? Because how does the world gets sin, doesn't it? The secular governments of every kind do things like outlaw murder and stuff like that. The world, in spite of its mess, still can see sin, but how does the world deal with sin? The world wants you to remember it. The world wants you to punish you, give you a scar so you don't forget what you did. You remember what you did, because if you remember it, maybe you'll avoid it in the future. God turns it all upside down. Paul offers us another way. As you read through the book of Romans, you find that Paul does take you down that very, very dark hallway. He sets you right before the immense intensity of human sin, and the guilt of it will weigh you down. It'll weigh you down. You see the power of sin in and over the world and in and over your life, and how it affects everyone and everything, and nothing is free from its dominion. We all stand soiled before God. And if that were the end of the story, what a horrid story we would have. But he doesn't stop there. He takes the next step. He goes further to the place where the record books are on display and the pages for you are blank. He takes you to that small puddle of water in a bowl. Paul takes you to the very moment of your baptism, and there shows you were drowned eternally to that sin, and you were buried with Christ. You see, deeper than our sin, deeper than our darkest suffering, lies the suffering of God. We will never fathom the depth Jesus endured. The sins of the whole world. From that moment that Adam and Eve said, yeah, let's listen to Satan and pick that fruit. We can get rid of God and be God ourselves. From that sin to the last sin that will ever be committed, all of that is on Jesus while he's hanging there on that cross. He's paying for all of it. We can't fathom the depth of that suffering. But the death he died, vicious and horrible as it was the full punishment, the full payment for sin. That's when it was paid. You don't have a bill. Don't try to pay it. But there again, that's not the end of the story, because after he died, something happened. A resurrection from the dead. This resurrection is life and light to the world. The prophet's words were fulfilled. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God came into this messed up world, came and grabbed your sin and took it on himself, and took it to where it belongs, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth, and in his resurrection, dragged you out of that with him. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too walk in newness of life. Paul brings us from the record of our sin that plays over and over in our hearts and our minds to the wonderful reality of the death and resurrection of our Savior, who takes us by the hand and leads us safely home. Home to a place where we are brought into his kingdom and we live as his children in his story forever. That is why Paul calls on us to present ourselves to Jesus as people who have been brought from death to life. We present all that we are, our bodies, our minds, our skills, our talents, everything, and we present it to God for righteousness. That's part of the mystery, the wonder of being part of God's story. Just wondering what he's going to do with us next, knowing how weak we can be. We bring our lives to God and we think, this is all I've got. But God uses messed up things and he uses it in wonderful ways. We present ourselves to God and he uses our lives in the unfolding of his story and his kingdom, and there is no telling what he is going to do with you to save his children in his work, in his story. So as you stand before God, which is what we are about to do, we're about to leave this building that for us is a shelter of the Lord, that Psalm 91 stuff, that we're going to go out into that messed up world, a world that hates us, that hates Jesus, that hates God, that hates the church. But you can go out there with courage, and you can go out there with boldness, and you can say to all that come, I am dead to sin, and I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the message we have for all those people who don't like it out there and are looking for some way out. That way out is by dying with Jesus and then rising with him. That's what you can declare to them in Jesus' name. Amen.